Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Tennis IQ Podcast. Josh and I hope that you are enjoying the content and discussions that we put out week after week. If you'd like to support the podcast and help us to continue to produce quality episodes, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership. Currently, we have three tiers of support: the fan level at $3 per month, the supporter level at $7 per month, and the champion level at $20 per month. Benefits of joining the Tennis IQ podcast community include episode transcripts, participation in book club discussions, and access to monthly masterclasses with me and Josh. For more on these benefits of support, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership. Thank you so much. And now, on to the show. Hello and welcome to the Tennis IQ Podcast. I'm Brian Lomax.
And I'm Josh Berger. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing how players can best respond to changing surfaces. Now, this is something that I think has been on our minds, and it's definitely been on my mind recently following the professional tour, because this time of year, June, but really a bit before that, I think it starts in maybe late April, early May. Recently, the professional tour changed from the hard court calendar to the clay court calendar, and the beginning of the year in Australia and then the U.S. swing is all on hard courts of different types, of different speeds. But then it switches to clay, and there's different clay court tournaments all leading up to the French Open, Roland Garros, and then we get into the grass court season. And then back to hard courts, and then there's some indoor in there towards the end of the year. But really, professional players have to constantly go from surface to surface and make adjustments and make changes in their games and practice. And that's, of course, their full-time job. They are making a living based on their ability to perform in different situations, to win matches and play in these tournaments around the world on different surfaces. However, people who are listening to this podcast, junior players, adult players, often have to handle similar sorts of things. Maybe it's March or April and somebody from New England or from the Midwest or from the Pacific Northwest has been playing indoors all winter. And they're very used to those indoor fast hard courts or, indoor courts. And then all of a sudden they're playing on a slower bouncing hard court or clay court outside. Or maybe you're used to a hard court or a clay court at your local park or local tennis club. And then all of a sudden you play in a league match or a tournament and it's on a different surface. So in this episode, we can talk about how, first of all, maybe break down a little bit what are some of the challenges of switching surfaces, of playing on a new surface. And then we can also talk about, what are some tools that players can use. And I think one player in particular, one professional player who's talked a lot about his lack of, his distaste of clay is Daniil Medvedev. He's had a lot of success on hard courts. He's been to, I think, a couple of Australian Open finals. He won the U.S. Open on hard courts. And up until very recently, had not had a lot of success on clay. I believe last year he made a pretty deep run into the French Open, but in general had not had the sort of results on clay that he had had on hard courts and grass. But interestingly enough, recently, he won a clay court Masters. He won Rome, the final Masters tournament before the French Open. But then what happened in the first round of the French Open? He lost. He lost to a player ranked outside the top 100. So we can talk a little bit about that and maybe how he seems to view clay and how that might relate to some other professional players, but also how that could relate to players of all types that have to go through the same challenge of switching surfaces.
When you first mentioned this topic, Josh, it also made me just think about not only the groups you mentioned, but also in some of those areas of the world. I think Northern Europe also has this, as well as northern climates in the U.S., which is you're indoors, and then a lot of adults, they like to play on softer surfaces, like hard shoe in the U.S. or clay, because it's easier on the body, obviously. And then clay is a much more popular training surface for players in Europe and South America. And to a certain extent, if you wanted to play clay all year, you could do that, right? Because even though the hard court season did start off in Australia and New Zealand, what did Alcaraz go play first? He went to play two clay events in South America before, getting back onto the hard court. So clay, I think, is somewhat ubiquitous around the world in terms of a surface that you can use. But even where I live here, in the Boston area, it's very common that we go from outdoor hard court to playing on clay because it's nice, good, soft on the body. We still may play on hard courts as well. People who are playing league matches, sadly, most of those still occur indoors, especially for USTA. So you're back indoors, even though it's the summertime, playing on hard courts in some very hot building. So I think it is a good topic. We all have to go through it. And sometimes players have different beliefs about their ability to perform, like Medvedev, on a particular surface. And so I think, if we look at the specifics of the differences, Josh, right? So I think of different courts have, different characteristics. Maybe the speed of the court, the height of the bounce could be different. The grittiness of the surface, your ability to slide on one surface, because some hard courts you can slide on, and some you can't. Obviously, you can slide more on clay and hard true, and these. Practical differences can have an impact on how one plays the game. If you're a very aggressive player, you may not enjoy playing on a slower outdoor hard court or a clay court. It was interesting that you mentioned how, players in northern climates can get used to the faster hard courts. So a few years ago, I was at the New England Junior Sectionals, and I was talking with a coach who was just moving to the area, but he had been coaching in Texas for years. So in Texas, pretty much it's all outdoor tennis. And I asked him, "So what do you see as some of the differences here between the players here in New England and the players in Texas?" And again, this may be about 5, maybe 6, 7 years ago. I think the play in New England has gotten better. But he said, one thing that's really evident because of that difference between indoor and outdoor is that the shape of the ball of the New England player is much flatter and they have less patience during points. They are trying to end points much more quickly, even though they're playing outside now, where the player in Texas will use much more shape over the net, much more margin over the net, and they're willing to their shot tolerance in a rally is generally much higher. So I was like, oh, that's really very interesting about how just the climate or the environment, the surface, really can shape like the player you become. Daniil Medvedev is an interesting example because he hits the ball relatively flat. He's a big dude, tall-wise at least, not muscular-wise, but necessarily, but he does hit. It's a flat ball. He's not like Nadal generating tons and tons
Doesn't
of spin.
Brad Gilbert call him the skinny villain? Isn't
Skinny
that his
villain. I
nickname?
like that. I like Daniil. I don't. He may want to embrace his villain status at times, but I think overall he's got a great personality. And he's wonderful for tennis and. It's great to have a guy who you couldn't even possibly copy his strokes, right? So he sort of proves that there's no one way to do anything, when it comes to tennis. But that aside, his game is very built for hard courts, faster courts, the ability to hit that flat ball. So just even the course that you've been raised on can dictate maybe the style that you've grown up with and your preference for playing and maybe even some of your strengths. Needless to say, there may be times where we have to switch surfaces. And it might even just be, Josh, going from indoor to outdoor or outdoor to indoor, because there might be even players from warmer climates who want to play the indoor championships, who want to do something and play an indoor event. They're going to have to change. And I know when I first started playing year-round, I found that change to be difficult. I was very used to playing outside, and indoors just felt so fast. It was hard to keep up with, right? So I think there are a lot of practical challenges to it. And of course, a lot of it begins with your attitude.
Definitely, definitely. I think when it comes to your attitude in these sorts of situations, people can often have pretty limiting beliefs about themselves. Maybe it's based on their playing style. They play a certain way, and then they think that maybe they play pretty aggressively, and they think that clay doesn't suit them, or they're more used to hard courts or clay courts or indoor courts or whatever it may be. But I think when we start to think about your attitude and your mindset regarding playing on different surfaces, I think it's good to start to look at what are some of the self-limiting beliefs that people have. And I think people listening can think about maybe how they view different sorts of surfaces and what maybe their self-talk might look like playing on some of these different surfaces. Like sometimes, you know, I've seen situations where somebody's playing on a surface and in between points, they're complaining about that surface or about that court. And, you know, rather than really engaging in the match, thinking about their own game, thinking about their opponent's game, they're focused on something that's completely out of their control, like the court. But I think that people can definitely set themselves up for failure or set themselves up to be disappointed if they're too overly focused on the surface and maybe go in with certain preconceived notions about their ability to play on that surface. And maybe it's from their experience, maybe it's from one match in particular from their past. But I think, you know, as tennis players, we want to get to the point where instead of going into matches with such expectations and such judgments, especially about our own abilities to be successful in a match, we want to be able to pride ourselves on our ability to adjust, our ability to adapt, our ability to problem solve, our ability to maybe sabotage the opponent and make them uncomfortable, right? If we're in a colder climate and we're moving to outdoor courts in the springtime, our opponent is probably in that same boat, unless it's maybe a national level tournament. If it's a, you know, regional tournament, our opponent's likely going to be in that same position. You know, if we're playing on grass, unless our opponent plays on grass regularly, they're probably going to be handling some of the same sorts of challenges that you are, right? So I think your mindset in situations like this can be a real difference maker, because you can have those limiting beliefs, you can hold yourself back in that way, or you can also take a step back and be able to put things in perspective, understand that your opponent's going through it too, and also prioritize some of your other traits and other strengths, such as, you know, the problem-solving piece, the adjustment piece, those sorts of pieces that can really be critical to your success out there and can ultimately be the difference maker, especially in a close match when it comes down to a few points here or there. You know, who can adjust better? Who can handle those big points better? Who can handle the pressure better, right? Those are often more so the, you know, what makes a difference in the match rather than just who is more used to one surface compared to another.
Yeah, I think when we think about this sort of attitude thing, it really does drive everything. And it reminds me of the difference between being optimistic and being pessimistic in sort of that way of telling yourself stories. And if you're pessimistic about your ability to perform on a particular surface, it's very easy to become right about that. oh, I'm not good on clay. Okay, I lost because I'm not good on clay. Or I don't like grass or whatever. And there's no courage being taken there by being pessimistic about it. I think so. We want to strive to be optimistic about it, which means maybe just having no expectations, just seeing how it goes, but have an attitude that's open-minded and willing to do the work and embrace the whole thing. And you brought up the idea, Josh, of complaining. So I'm not sure if you've seen this, but there's a great video, very short, it's like 54 seconds. And I think it's on the Nadal Academy YouTube channel. And it's about, I think the title is something like, How Do You Train Mentally? And it's Rafa at a press conference after he's won the Italian Open during some year. And so he says, you work mentally when you don't complain in practice about how you feel, how you're playing, all these different things, right? And so you can think about, okay, why is that working mentally? Because, all right, things are going wrong and you're deciding not to let them get in your way. You're accepting them. You put, as he says in the video, you put a good face on it. You have a positive attitude. You commit to practicing with the passion required to become a great player. And that's it. And that's how you train mentally, is by not complaining about all these things that are out of your control that could be going on. And you just bring it back to playing with great attitude, great body language, practicing with the required passion that you need to. And I think this is a perfect opportunity, Josh, because now it reminds me of another thing from this ultra marathon guy named Travis Macy, who would say anything that was sort of difficult, he'd just say, it's all good mental training, man. It's all good mental training. So something like this is just good mental training. Another challenge for you to tackle, right? And when you do that, gets back to our episode on acceptance. When you're able to have those types of attitudes and accept whatever it is, now you can do something about it. If you get stuck on whatever you feel is wrong or not working, the complaining, now you're just creating a story about the problem. You're just thinking about the problem. And the story you create is one of a self-limiting beliefs. So I think it's really key that the attitude that we have really enable us to be optimistic, to be open-minded, to realize, you know, possibilities of what we could do. So I thought, Josh, one of the things that we could also share would be, all right, you're on a new surface, day one. How do you approach it? So, I had some thoughts on this piece because it's this, as we said before, the logistics may be, the practical pieces may be different, right? It might be a slightly lower bounce, or it might be a higher bounce. The speed of the court, right? The tempo of the rallies you're going to have could be different in some way, faster or slower. So the whole rhythm and cadence and tempo of what's going on out there is very likely different, and that difference may be making you slightly uncomfortable. So I think it's really important that you keep those things in mind when you begin, even with mini tennis, is can we just start with watching the ball? Start with focusing on our breathing, just relaxing the body into this so that we can begin to build some rhythm and some coherence in the body. And then as you begin to move further and further back, you look to develop consistency first, you know, consistency being, all right, can I get the ball over the net and into the court? Then maybe your next objective is accuracy. Okay, I'm getting the ball over the net into the court, but now I'm doing it to a spot. I'm beginning to control the ball. And you're doing both of these things at maybe somewhere between 50 and 75% of your normal pace so that you're starting to get some fluidity and smoothness with your strokes. And then once you've established that consistency and that accuracy and that feel in your body, now you can start to add a little bit more power, right? Increase the racket head speed to add a little bit more power without corrupting the rest of your mechanics. So we're staying smooth and fluid with it the whole time. And I feel like that's a good progression regardless, anyway, Josh, it's a great way to warm up, but it's a really good way to adjust to a new surface because it helps you make the changes you might need to make, right? So let's say we're playing on grass and the ball bounces a little bit lower. Well, we might need to change the distance between where I'm standing and where the ball bounces, right? As a means of managing that contact point or managing the tempo. That's true of any surface, right? So that's something that you're trying to manage. So a lot of different things that if your mind is open to it and you're really trying to create consistency and accuracy first, then you can make those simple adjustments to start feeling the ball and developing some confidence with your strokes.
Definitely, definitely. And I think that's really good advice that you want to start with some of the fundamentals, things like watching the ball, things like let's make sure we can be consistent at the beginning, right? That we don't have to be hitting every ball as hard as we can as we're trying to build that rhythm. We want to be hitting, a lot lighter and, focus on making clean contact, focus on watching the ball, focus on your follow through, focus on moving your feet, focus on some of the fundamentals that might feel basic, but focus on doing those well, focus on doing those right, and then you can increase from there. But I find, oftentimes players don't spend the time doing those things right. They don't have that nice foundation, and then they never quite find their rhythm, or they say they haven't found their timing, and then the rest of the match or the rest of the day, they're struggling in that way. So I think it makes sense to start slow and make sure that the fundamentals are sound. I think another thing, maybe taking a step back here, as we think about mindset in general, is can we view this as more of a challenge than a threat? Right? And I think talking about Daniil Medvedev, I think maybe it was last year or 2 years, one either a year ago or 2 years ago, he said, and I think he said this jokingly, but maybe there was some truth here, that his goal was to win one match during the clay season. Someone can fact check me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what I think he tweeted it out. And to me, what that sounded like, hey, this is a challenge for myself, right? This surface is challenging for me. I obviously have game. I'm one of the best players in the world, but I haven't had great results here. So the challenge for me is can I at least get one W on this surface? And that challenge for somebody else when they're playing on a new surface might look a little bit different. Maybe that challenge is, can I hit the next five shots cleanly? Can I watch the ball and track the ball all the way from my opponent's strings to mine a few times in a row, or as many times in a row as possible, ideally? So that I think that challenge could look different. But I think when we are able to see things as more of a challenge rather than a threat, we lean into it more. And if we're leaning into it, then we're going to be eager to approach it, right? To see what this new situation offers, to see what's in store, right? Rather than saying, uh-oh, I have to play on this surface. Here we go again. Maybe thinking back to a past situation, thinking about it as a threat, thinking about what could be taken away from us, right? Maybe it's our UTR. Maybe it's our ranking. Maybe it's our spot on a team. Maybe it's something else. But when we're seeing things as a threat, we think about what we can lose from the situation. When we think about things as a challenge, we think about how can we improve in this situation? How can this make us better? How can we improve on this one aspect of our games? So I think that more philosophical piece can be a good starting point as well. Can we see this as a challenge and really try to embrace that challenge as much as possible? And then I think when it comes to the specific tactics, yeah, watching the ball, breathing, staying loose, staying relaxed, not worrying so much in the very beginning about those errors, expecting them even, expecting that when you're switching surfaces, it's going to take some time. It's not going to be always such a seamless, smooth transition. It's not for the best players in the world, the pros, and it's most likely not going to be for you. So can you go in with realistic expectations rather than having the sorts of expectations that can put a lot of pressure on you, right? Expecting that you're going to be at your level from the start, expecting that you're going to play your best that first time that you play on a new surface. I think those sorts of expectations can really put pressure on and make it a lot harder for us to achieve the sorts of results that we ultimately want to.
Yeah, and I think you're showing through your description, Josh, the versatility of the embrace the challenge mindset. You know, we've probably referenced that dozens of times here in various circumstances, but it really is something that allows you to take something on, to be optimistic, to be open to possibilities, rather than just stopping yourself. And some of the self-talk around like attitudes with particular surfaces might be so deep-rooted that it just flows right out of you without you even thinking. And if that's the case, then I would say try to notice that and then ask yourself, all right, why am I thinking that way? What's making me think that particular way? What's behind this thinking? And what might be the threat that I'm detecting? Is it really a threat? Or is that something I'm you know, creating in my own mind here? You know, I could even just say my own game, Josh. I'm not particularly fond of playing on grass. Now, most of the grass that we play on, you know, outside of Wimbledon is not Wimbledon, right? The Wimbledon grass changed several years ago to be almost like a hard court in a way, which is great because now you get to see really good quality tennis being played there. But prior to that, many professionals did not care for playing on grass. And in some ways they had to do something about that. Because the ball bounce is just so radically different than it is on all of the other surfaces. It's to me, like when I play, I don't like playing real matches on it just because it totally takes away from what I'm good at. I have a full Western grip. That is not the ideal grip for a grass court. And I don't mind playing doubles on it, but I really don't like playing, you know, a competitive singles match. It's fun to play. It's nice. It's a novelty, but it's nothing that I ever really want to compete on. Now, do I need to deal with that? I don't really need to deal with that too much because it's very easy to push grass off as a surface I don't need to play on, right? But as a professional player, I probably wouldn't be able to get away with that. Some do, depending on their level. But you're gonna have to deal with grass at some point and learn to perhaps retool your game a little bit or develop something new or understand how you can use your particular strengths on that surface. And it really does start with the attitude and your mindset and your philosophy of dealing with these types of things. And so, yeah, the more you embrace it, the more you're gonna approach that goal, the more you're gonna be able to do something about it. And not stop yourself from performing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe there's a way where, on whatever surface you're on, you can make adjustments, right? Like, I think I would challenge people that are listening to think if they were playing on, and I used to coach on grass, right, at the Tennis Hall of Fame. And I know you've played there in the past, Brian. And I know there's some other places in the Northeast with grass, Forest Hills has. Is
Yeah.
it at Forest
Longwood.
Hills,
There's some clubs in Philadelphia.
Longwood? I think it's Philadelphia Cricket Club. So there's a handful of clubs in the Northeast with grass, and there's a handful around the country, but I would guess that a large percentage of our of people that are listening have never played on grass. So I think you can think about if you were playing on a completely novel surface, a surface you've never played on before, and maybe you've watched it on TV at Wimbledon or somewhere else, and maybe you have a sense of how the court reacts. But if you were playing on that for the first time, what's the type of mindset that you need to go in to a match on that surface and give yourself a fighting chance, right? It's not the type of attitude where you're counting yourself out. It's not the type of attitude where you're saying that, you know, oh, this surface is not, you know, not for me, or not a real, you know, sometimes I think people will say things like, oh, this isn't a real surface, or this, you know, that this isn't real tennis. I've even heard that before. So I think, you know, we want to go in with openness. And yeah, can we view it as a challenge as much as possible? And can we really think about how we can adapt our game? I mean, I when I was teaching on grass, and I, you know, I'd play sets and that sort of thing on it, I also would say it's definitely not the type of surface that suits my game. I prefer hard courts, more, you know, a little bit slower bouncing hard courts. But I had to think, how can I adjust to this? You know, I'm playing a lot on the surface. How can I really adjust? You know, I found myself using my slice a lot, found myself trying to come into net, chip and charge, serve and volley sometimes, that sort of thing. And it was tough. Definitely still not my favorite surface after, you know, playing on it for a while still. But, you know, I think it's the type of attitude where it's like, how can we make the best of this? And I think it's, in a certain way, it's that same attitude that you can use when changing surfaces that you need to use in other areas of the game, right? It's making the best of it. It's adjusting, it's adapting, it's analyzing, right? It's analyzing your own game, analyzing, is your strategy right? Do you have to, you know, do you have to change things? And I think in a certain way, can you view each time you're out there as practice? You know, this is practice for the next time I have to adjust to a new surface. This is practice for the next time I have to make adjustments with my game. And I think the more that we can view it like that, the more we can view it like practice, the more that we can view it sort of as an experiment or as a test, it takes a lot of pressure off us. We don't feel that we have to play perfectly. We don't feel that we have to play up to our standards or how we quote unquote should be playing, where we're going in with the type of attitude where we're not going in with those preconceived notions and those expectations. And we're more so just trying to see what happens and think about how can we adjust best and respond best to the different challenges that we'll face on this new surface.
And the process requires some patience. So if you're playing a tournament, you obviously need to show up more than a day ahead. Yeah, depending on your own logistics or financial considerations, that may not always be possible, but it would be recommended to get on that surface and really get acclimatized to it and have patience with yourself. You know, one change we actually didn't even talk about, Josh, but I know you have experienced this within the last year, is also playing at altitude. That is a radical change for players. You know, going from, say, like sea level to playing at 7,500 to 8,000 feet, or, you know, that's there's a big difference in not only your ability to breathe, but also, you know, how much the ball flies and how to deal with that. So those types of conditions need to be, you need to acclimatize to that, as well as all these others. And that process requires patience and maybe some planning, but certainly patience with yourself as this goes along. If you had stayed at the Hall of Fame for a couple of years, you probably would have become an expert grass court player just through your sheer exposure and time on the court. All of those strategies that you mentioned are all the right strategies, and you would have gotten better at them over the course of time, for sure. And so we all have the possibility to adapt our games, and it's just a matter of believing that and then wanting to make it happen. Tell yourself a story in which you have the possibility of being just as good as you want to be on any surface. It just takes amount of you know, commitment to that goal, to that story that you're telling yourself. And if you really want it, you really want to commit to it, you can make it happen. And so, you know, these surface changes, while they are maybe potentially problematic in the first few days of the transition, there's really nothing stopping you from getting used to that surface and acclimatizing to it and adapting your game, except properly for yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think going back to what you were saying about altitude, I first experienced that last year, spending some time in Mexico City and playing on the courts there. And I remember especially that first day, just trying to find my timing, trying to find my rhythm, hitting a shot that normally at sea level, it felt like it would go in with plenty of margin, 5 feet inside the baseline or more. And it was going 10 feet long, or it was hitting the back fence. And I started realizing, okay, I can't hit the way that I'm used to. I have to hit with more spin. I have to make adjustments. I have to, yeah, if I'm trying to stick with what I've been doing up to this point in a completely new environment, it's not going to be successful. And the same thing in Colorado. I currently live in Boulder, Colorado, and it's about a mile high. It's over 5,000 feet altitude. And it's the same sort of thing. The first time I played there, it was messy. It really was. There was a lot of errors. My timing was way off. Even mini tennis. I remember playing mini tennis for the first time and just having a very tough time controlling the ball, feeling like an absolute beginner. And over time it gets better. And but it really is, worth thinking about. Maybe somebody goes and plays a tournament in high altitude and they don't think about it. They don't realize it. Oftentimes you might feel it when you get off the plane or that sort of thing. But if you don't think about it and then all of a sudden you're playing and it's high altitude, it can definitely get to you. So I think, yeah, being open to making adjustments, not going in with too many expectations, and yeah, maybe just, trying to look for additional ways to relax in some of these situations as well, understanding that there might be some additional tension in an uncomfortable, unknown environment, an environment that you're much less used to. And with that in mind, can you look to relax? Can you look to take some pressure off? Can you look to really implement some of these different mental skills that we talk about that hopefully you're using or trying to utilize? Can you make sure that you're taking time in between points, putting that last point behind you, right? Especially if that last point didn't go so well, if you're in a new environment, right? Okay, let's put that last shank behind me. I completely mishit that ball. I shanked that last shot. I have to put that behind me. I can't still be thinking about that going into the next point. And I need to have a clear plan here going into this next point. So something like our routine is really important. Something like our breathing and just staying loose, staying relaxed is really important. I think our self-talk is really critical here. Right? Again, we talked about the sort of self-limiting beliefs and the pessimism that we can definitely have when changing surfaces, when changing environments. So being very aware of that, and I think even planning out how we want to talk to ourselves in this challenging circumstance can be really important as well.
Yeah, so I think my final thought on this, Josh, would be to simply be aware of the attitudes that you're bringing. Notice if they are limiting you, and embrace the whole situation. And 'cause you can do it. There's nothing really major here stopping you from this. And it just shows the power of how we speak to ourselves, the stories we tell ourselves, our particular philosophy on challenges in competition. And the more we improve that, the more possibilities we have around the game. And a surface change is just one challenge amongst many, many challenges in the sport of tennis. Much of what we've discussed today could easily be applied to other challenges that we're talking about, but this was a good one to talk about because we're in the midst of hard court to clay and soon to grass. And we're watching all of the professionals have to make these adjustments. That clay to grass one is probably one of the harder ones to make. And they don't have a ton of time to acclimate to grass. And so that's an impressive part of what the professional players are able to do. If you think back to Bjorn Borg in the 70s, able to switch from the clay of Roland Garros to Wimbledon grass, which was quite a bit different back then, and win those titles consecutively in certain years is an amazing feat. Certainly what Federer and Nadal have been able to do, fantastic, same with Djokovic, but the grass now is so different. So I think that's why it really comes to mind. And plus, you didn't really reveal this, Josh, but as we're recording this, you actually are in Paris, getting to witness some of the French Open and see these players on clay. And so it will be interesting to see how everybody transitions to the grass this year.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how that goes. And I think my if I was to end with one point, it would be: can you think about what sort of player you're trying to become? And ideally, that's the type of player that can respond to all situations that are thrown at them, right? You want to be the type of person that can handle whatever happens, right? You can handle any sort of opponent, whatever their playing style, even if it's a annoying, frustrating playing style to you. You can handle any sort of surface. You can handle different weather conditions. You can handle whatever happens out there. And I think being a great player requires that. So I think, as we start to wrap up, I think, starting to think about what is the player that I want to be? And how does that player respond to different sorts of situations? And I think if we can start there, then we can think about each time we're in a tough situation, whether that's a change of surface, whether that's an opponent that's challenging, whether that's the weather, whether that's anything else, that this is another opportunity to improve at these skills. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens the rest of Roland Garros, the rest of the French Open, and we'll have an episode on that as well, a recap episode, and then straight to the grass. And that'll be interesting to see as well in terms of how people adjust, how people are able to hopefully find their game. And there's always sparks fly, there's always fireworks as people switch surfaces, as people get out of their comfort zone. And yeah, and hopefully from what we talked about in this episode, there are some certain things that you can bring to the court as well in terms of thinking about how these different areas can apply to your own game.
Yeah, for sure. Great. Well, good discussion. Thanks, Josh, and thank all of you for listening. For more on today's episode, please check out the show notes if you have any feedback or questions. For us, please email us at tennisiqpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you have the opportunity, please rate and review the podcast so others can find it. Additionally, please subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice, including YouTube, so you can be notified of new episodes. You can also check us out on Instagram. If you would like to support the podcast, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership, where you can learn about the benefits of being part of the Tennis IQ podcast community. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon in our next episode.